Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm back. I'm back in studio. JP, did you miss me? Did you miss me?
I did, and I was very jealous of you the whole time, watching all the your stuff you posted.
Oh, man, it was some more. We'll talk about it in detail, but it was some more kind of a trip. But hey, before I forget, it's hump day. Let's play some camel. Hit me some camel, man.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is.
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Yes, it is. It is hump day. You are halfway to the weekend, my friends, on a frigid week. Like, by the way, if you're south of Birmingham, how come you got our snow? I do not understand what's happening right now. This is like the weather is turned upside down, but there's snow on the Gulf Coast beaches right now.
I say the first day of the Gulf of America and it got snow. That's a good way to bring it
the
in.
The Trump effect is now affecting the weather too. You know, we have some friends in Mobile that told us or said online last night on socials that they had 7 inches of snow in Mobile.
That's just nuts.
That is unbelievable. Meanwhile, we're looking out at the beautiful but yet very cold. It was 9 degrees when I got up this morning.
Yeah, I think Jeff from Indiana said you went up to D.C. to warm up because it's so cold down here.
It's true. All right, we got plenty to talk about today. We got a great show laid on for you. 3:30 today, Congressman Gary Palmer calling in to talk about the first few days of the new Trump administration and where they're headed in the House and the Senate. So, yeah, Congressman Gary Palmer calling in at 3 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, you know the deal, it's Wednesday. The Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson, where we ping each other with questions and just see where the chips fall. All that plus a triple dipper, so hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, first dipper, it begins. That's what I'm calling it. It begins. There are things that are already happening, and I'm amazed. Some of them you look at and go, well, that wasn't hard, was it? Just a little bit of leadership. But yeah, we're going to talk about the things that have already occurred in the first 2 days. We were talking right before the show, and JP even said it. He said, Trump's already done more in 2 days than Biden did in 4 years. So it begins is number one on the triple dipper. Number two, I'm going to take some of that and convert it to its own dipper, military-minded. You know, we do that periodically. This show is extremely military-centric, and so, yes, we're going to talk about some things that have just occurred that are directly impacting or will impact our U.S. military, and let's enjoy some of that. Number two on the triple dipper, military-minded. And then number three, yeah, the pardon power. Oh, my gosh. So, first of all, Trump came out the gate and did some pardons that liberals are freaking out about. But what did they say when Biden did a 11th hour and 59 minute and 30 second pardon of his family for like anything? Nothing. They said nothing at all. We're talking about the pardon power and what that means as number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump on into the opening monologue. I might take a little bit longer with this one because there was so much I wanted to say, but I will remind you guys before I get started that attorney Stan McDonald from the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, Stan McDonald, a 30-year veteran of the practice of law, he is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. So, yeah, let me kick off by just saying the lovely Charlene and I, we returned late last night from D.C., and it was an adventure, and to say that I have some impressions is an understatement. I mean, first of all, I will point out that she and I have really had some unique opportunities over the years to attend spectacular events, to even be present for history-making moments. I mean, we were there when Republicans took back Alabama's government after 136 straight years of Democrat control. We attended the balls, all the speeches. I was personally there when U.S. troops destroyed al-Qaeda on the battlefields of Afghanistan at the beginning of the war and rode horses across the northern regions of that nation. I personally handed a copy of the new Iraqi constitution to leaders of the newly elected government in Baghdad in the beginning of that war. Every once in a while, I've been able to stand next to heroes or leaders or preachers or politicians who were truly impacting culture and changing their times. But at the same time, I'll be honest with you, I'm not prone to seek those moments out. They typically just involved being in the right place at the right time for the right reasons with the right people. But these past few days were something that I wanted to seek out. I wanted to be there, Charlene and I both, we wanted to be like so many thousands of others, to just be in the nation's capital and actually watch history unfold. So we went, and it did not disappoint. And to say that we're tired right now would be an understatement. I mean, hotel living ain't grand, right? Every Uber ride was apparently upcharged by double because they could. But every street was also closed, which meant that more than once we just had to tell our driver to let us out and we'd walk the last mile, which we did. Plans also changed on a minute-by-minute basis. We went to D.C. with tickets to two balls, the inauguration, the governor's prayer breakfast, the Trump rally on Sunday, and the victory parade all had tickets, and yet we arrived to find that everything had changed. The inauguration was now inside, the rally and the parade were now first come, first serve, and the weather, wow, the weather made it all the more exciting. Was it cold? You better believe it was cold. Did it snow? Some, but it also sleeted and rained while we were out walking. And then the road closures. Look, it felt like there was no rhyme or reason. We once walked a mile and a half in freezing weather and sleet, only to find the last quarter mile was blocked by barricades that had the crowds hemmed into the sidewalks. There was no way to get to our hotel. I finally walked up to the 10-foot-high steel mesh fencing, and I called a police officer over, and I asked him, I said, hey, how do we get to our hotel down there? He looked around, and he goes, okay, you didn't hear this from me, but go back the way you came for a block. Yeah. He says, there's about to barricade that intersection, but before they do, just step out in the road and walk with the cars. So we did. Just acted like we owned the place and walked in the traffic lines and made it back to the room and watched the rally on TV. Well, by then, we were fine with that, by the way. We had one Uber driver that began asking me for directions. I don't live there. She was so frustrated trying to get through the gridlock and the barricades. I had to remind her that she's the one who lived there, not us. This was her job. Security was unreal. Security, wow. Thousands of National Guard, police, Border Patrol, Secret Service, and an unknown number of city workers all bundled up against the cold, manning every street corner and lamppost you can imagine. But I got to be honest with you, aside from all that, there was still like a magical feeling in the whole area. I mean, everywhere you went, there were throngs of people wearing Trump hats and sweatshirts and MAGA jackets. There were outbreaks of spontaneous applause and people slapping backs and talking about how great everything felt. The air in D.C. was different. The mood was kind of electric. And I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And in the middle of it all, there were some key memories that would not have been there had we not gone there. I mean, we dressed in all of our finery. We went to mingle with crowds at formal balls and enjoyed being among folks who were, like us, just glad to be present. We met with friends and colleagues and like-minded folks from Alabama for Governor Ivey's prayer breakfast, and praise and worship broke out while we were there. I hung out in the waiting area of a store and made a new friend from Alaska as both of our wives were shopping for clothes we didn't know they needed and compared notes on how our respective states were responding to the incoming new administration. Alaska and Alabama, we discovered, are worlds apart, but there are right-side ruffians everywhere, and we saw things the same way. We connected with friends we hadn't seen in a while. We had a great time laughing over an Italian dinner at Filomena's in Georgetown, and while we were there, half the restaurant broke out chanting, USA, USA, in the restaurant. We were invited to go to the office of Congressman Robert Aderholt to a watch party for the inauguration itself, and wound up being one of the best moments of the trip as folks all stood and sat and sprawled out on his floor just to watch the swearing in of the new administration. Look, I'll be honest with you, that was significant. I mean, I remember being in a military chow hall once, headed to Iraq, when the TV news broke in the chow hall that we had captured Saddam Hussein. And that moment in the chow hall when the crowd erupted then, that was the only time in my memory that beats the mood and the spontaneous joy that I saw the other day in the congressman's office. I mean, it was almost an emotional event as all of us in the room hung on every word of Trump's oath of office until the Chief Justice finally said, "Congratulations, Mr. President." And the room just started cheering and laughter and high fives and handshakes. Charlene and I, we hung around afterward and talked with folks and then realized that right outside the window of the congressman's office, where I was standing, was the Marine One helicopter that was spooling up to take Biden away. To take Biden away. Let that sink in. So I filmed it from my perfect vantage point as Marine One, which was technically not Marine One then. It was on loan from the new president. Lifted off and flew past the American flag and around the dome of the Capitol while I caught the moment on camera. It was like the bad dream coming to a fitting end. Like Scripture says, you will look for them and they will not be found. Yes, indeed. But the most significant thing for me, though, out of all of it, was standing there in the congressman's office listening to Trump deliver his acceptance speech. And y'all, he nailed it. I know most of y'all saw it. He delivered a speech for the ages as I stood there among other like-minded folks in the congressman's office, and it was so good I had to start taking notes. I've got a whole section in my phone filled up with notes. The points that flowed out in that one speech were everything we've been looking for. He promised God, country, family, and common sense were all coming back. He vowed that the, quote, golden age of America starts now. In that speech, Trump pulled no punches. He said everything he wanted to say. He did not care who was sitting to his left hand while he said it. They tried to kill him. They tried to destroy his character. They tried to ruin his business. They tried to disrupt his family. And they certainly tried to rebrand America in their own image. So why would he not say the things that he said? The entire time, too, he appeared relaxed but resolute. Some of his key points were delivered with emphasis and then a stare at the audience that said, I'm not kidding. He called out the southern border. He called out the weaponization of government. He called out lawfare. He called out economic ruin. He said the turnaround time begins now. Right now. He called for unity, and he also said, though, that we will not forget our God. He labeled the whole thing as the revolution of common sense, and what made it all the more enjoyable is that Biden and Harris looked miserable the entire time he spoke. He said, it's time once again to act with the vigor of being the greatest nation. We will not be deterred, he said. We will pursue our manifest destiny into the stars, and we will pursue planting the American flag on the planet of Mars. He remarked on the history of what it took to build this country, everything from westward expansion to the splitting of the atom and launching mankind into the heavens. If we work together, he said in that speech, there's nothing we cannot do and no dream we cannot achieve. He said, in America, the impossible is what we do best. And I love that line. But his closing quotes, and I'll close with this, were perhaps the most electric. He said this, and I'm putting it in quotation marks now. He said, after all we have been through together, we stand on the verge of the four greatest years in American history. We will reveal and revel in the nation we love. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. So to every parent who dreams for their child and every child who dreams for their future, I am with you, and I will win for you, and we're going to win like never before. And then he added this, and I quote again, he said, quote, America will be respected again and admired again, including by people of religion, faith, and goodwill. We will be prosperous. We will be proud. We will be strong, and we will win like never before. We will not be conquered. We will not be intimidated. We will not be broken, and we will not fail. And from this day on, the United States of America will be a free, sovereign, and independent nation. We will stand bravely. We will live proudly. We will dream boldly. And nothing will stand in our way because we are Americans. The future is ours, and a golden age has just begun. So yeah, am I tired today? Darn right, I need a vacation. Am I glad I went? Darn right, I'd do it again. Y'all, this was history. It was history, my friends. This was real history. And we are smack dab in the middle of it. So bring on the golden age of America. Let's do this, I say. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, it was a full trip. I mean, it's one of those trips where nothing went as planned and yet everything was great. And I wouldn't take anything for being in D.C. just to feel the air. Just to feel the air. And y'all, I'm looking forward to where we're going next. I've had 4 years almost of Right Side Radio talking about the Biden administration, and now I don't have to. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I told you a minute ago, by the way, that the monologue every single day brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Look, I know Stan personally. I love the fact that he's a sponsor on this show. But attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, he's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, y'all. And not only will he advocate and fight for your legal needs and rights, but he has been an absolute warrior for causes near and dear to the Right Side Ruffian community for like a long time. He's been in the mix, let me just tell you. But yeah, attorney Stan McDonald, he has represented clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions over the years. He knows how to represent you in every level of court, whether it be local, state, or federal. So when Stan McDonald's on your side, I like to say, you will have no greater friend and your adversaries will have no greater foe. So here's the deal. I'm going to tell you how to get in touch with him. If you need an attorney, especially up in the Huntsville area, Stan McDonald, the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. He's an America First family man, and here's his phone number, 256-479-3020. That's Stan McDonald at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, 256-479-3020. And now I can do that ridiculous thing I do every time. No representation made of the quality legal service before is greater than quality legal service before with other lawyers. Bam. Don't mess with me. I'm back. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. We'll take text messages and jump on into some stuff here momentarily. Thank you all, by the way, for taking care of my guest hosts. I know, JP, you and Emily had the show Monday. I called in on that one with you, but great job there.
Appreciate it. I feel grateful that I got to do the first Right Side Radio show ever under Trump.
You did.
It was quite the honor.
It was. You did.
I actually started off the show with that. I did the intro and and I made that announcement.
So I'm late.
Yeah.
I'm coming in after the fact.
Third one.
Well, also special thanks to my friend Scott Buttram, publisher at the Trustful Tribune, for jumping on in here and adding his flavor to the show. And I know you got a lot of good local stuff out of that, too. That we got to remember where we live. So, yeah, Scott Buttram, thank you very much. Emily, thank you very much. JP, thank you very much. Jason from Meridianville said, let's make every day Trump Day and drive the liberals crazy. I'm for it. It's not just hump day. It's Trump Day. Scott from Athens says, Jake Trump and Elwood Vance on a mission from God. And he sent me a meme of the two of them. Yeah, that's good. Except that I can't picture JD without a beard. The vice president needs a beard.
I know. I think he's actually the first vice president ever with a beard I saw.
It's been since like over 100 years.
Yeah, since yeah.
I forgot who it was, but I need to look back and see. Tom from Tanner, Alabama, says, to prevent pardon abuse, should we amend the Constitution to prohibit pardons from 90 days before the general election until after the next term starts? That way voters can see the impact of the pardons before we vote. If a president goes wild, at least he can be punished at the election. You know, you bring up a point, but probably not. Because the pardon power can't be curtailed per se. The question I do have, though, is, and this is going to be legal scholars greater than my mind, but the question I have is, how do you preemptively pardon somebody for something that hasn't even happened yet? And I think that's something that's has to be looked at constitutionally. Because if something egregious happened, what if they commit murder? Well, we've now preemptively pardoned them from committing murder. I don't think that works. More text messages, and we'll jump on in. It begins. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. Big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Glad y'all are with us. Welcome to Day 3 of the dawning of the golden age of America. By the way, I am loving the fact. I know some people are going to like, well, that's kind of trite. Why is that necessary? Screw that. I love the fact that it's the Gulf of America now.
I know. It's anybody who's saying it's not awesome is just lying.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Like, Mexico's not happy.
No, and I saw literally like the same day that Trump said that in his inauguration speech on a like severe weather warning that Florida put
yes.
out, they put the Gulf of America right away.
So. Yes. It's perfect. And Alabama needs to go ahead and recognize it. And let's talk about our Gulf of America offshore oil interests and stuff like that.
Well, the Orange Beach mayor posted a picture.
Yeah, he did.
Calling it the Gulf of America. That was pretty awesome.
And I reposted that and said this became the MAGA vacation spot of the year.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Orange Beach, Tony Kennan. I think I've had him on the show in the past. I need to call and get him back on. But yeah, Orange Beach is now sitting on the Gulf of America. By golly. Great. I like it.
And also, Mount McKinley is back.
Mount McKinley is no longer Mount Denali. It's Mount McKinley, named after President William McKinley, which it had been for goodness knows how long. And you know, for liberal renaming reasons, which makes me wonder, we get Pete Hegseth in, how long is it going to take before they talk about renaming Fort Bragg, Fort Benning, anybody else?
So I was actually thinking about that, if Trump would do an executive order doing that, but then I thought it would probably be better that's something Hegseth does in the SecDef.
Except that I think that may, I don't know for a fact, that may require congressional approval because it was congressional action that had put the naming commission in place. So if they were, if they overstep their reach, then it can be rescinded. If they, like, if they were given constitutional authority for certain things and then they overstepped that, then it can be undone. But if they were acting within congressional authority, then that's going to have to be undone by congressional action. At the very least, I mean,
it'll happen some one way or another.
At the very least, stop calling it Fort Liberty.
Yeah,
that just feels like somebody's like they had a third grade contest to see who could pick up the best name for a post, and that's what won. Anyway, text lines, like I said, TL from Huntsville text back, says, welcome back, Phil. What an inspiring long weekend. In the words of William Shakespeare, the golden age is before us, not behind us. And also, here's another quote. He says, this is an exciting time. I believe we stand at the age of a new age, a golden age of freedom that will rival any of our great eras of world history because it will be the entire world itself that is changing. Joe Lieberman, how about that? Sincere thank you to Scott Buttram for guest hosting, he said. Thank you, man. That was awesome. And then John from Harvest says, welcome back. He says, was Monday great or what? There are so many good things happening now, it's hard to keep up. Quick observation, he said, I think Trump's second term would be better now than if he had served consecutive terms. And I think the big reason is that Trump narrowly escaped death and essentially spent the last 4 years in the wilderness being tested. God works in mysterious ways. John, you were so on point, man. I think I said something similar to that either when I called in Monday or maybe it was, I forget when it was, maybe last Friday. But I did. I said the same thing, that I feel like the fact that this four-year sojourn he had in between gave him a greater opportunity for developing resolve and coming up with his plan. And I think he walked in the door far more prepared than if he had just stayed in and had to keep fighting the same battles over and over again.
Well, he also had 4 years to gain momentum so that when he got into office, he was hitting the ground running.
And 4 years to get back to a point where he had the House and the Senate to work with. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I agree with this completely. John from Harvest, great, great text. Let me refresh my texture, which apparently now requires refreshing constantly. Spectacular monologue, says John from Huntsville. Thank you, John. He says, definitely one of your best. Also, what'd you think about Carrie Underwood's amazing unplanned a cappella performance of America the Beautiful? And she even got everybody to sing it with her. Yeah, that was a moment. There was this kind of like this sense that nothing was going wrong until all of a sudden the music would start. He'd had a little glitch of music that started and stopped. And I thought Carrie Underwood did a great job.
I liked it better a cappella like that.
I think it came across, more meaningful. And I hope she didn't walk off feeling like that was tough. I had the bad moment in the whole thing because I think she nailed it.
Yeah. Kamala didn't sing, though, so she didn't get everybody
did
to sing.
Did she not?
No.
Whatever. Kamala was too busy trying to get over things.
Yeah.
Kamala's too busy being Kamala. JT Lacey Springs says, welcome back. I know the next 4 years you will have better things to speak about versus the past four. Consider on or about the 20th of each month to do a Trump month, 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, et cetera report. It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Well, let's jump on into what's happening so far. How about I give my day three report? Is this day three or is this day two and a half? What are we on?
It's technically day three. We're past the time he was inaugurated.
Okay.
So day three.
I like it. All right. So I'm going to say some things some of y'all already know, but I'm going to put my flavor on it just so I can. So first of all, the executive orders, he promised them, and they have been flying. And some of them have got liberal heads exploding. Like, you can hear that loud noise in the background. What is that noise? That's liberal heads exploding. So he took office. Story here on Fox. This is a big one. This is a great article, by the way. It covers a lot of things. But he said he would sign a series of historic executive orders, complete restoration of America, he said, and the revolution of common sense. Well, that's where we are. What's interesting is the Trump rally that afternoon, and I love that he did this. He is making this an absolute grassroots retail politics event. Everything about it. It's like Trump was making sure that he was letting the people be engaged in the process. So whereas he couldn't be with them for the inaugural out there on the and y'all, I know there's been all kinds of talk about, well, it didn't snow. It was bitter cold. I mean, it was painful cold. Charlene and I were out walking in it, and it took a while for us to get to the place where we could meet the congressional staff to even get us through security into the building to watch everything on the watch party. And it was painful. It was so cold. That being said, Trump took every opportunity to be among people. And when he signed those executive orders, a ton of them he signed at the Capitol One. Like, they had a table set up at the Capitol One arena. He's signing executive orders in front of like 20,000 people. But then he went one step further. If you saw this, JP, then he started taking the pins and throwing them to the crowd. Did you see that?
I did. Yeah, that's pretty. That's pretty cool.
Get one of those, man. Put that thing in the shadow box.
That's got to be framed. Whoever has those.
So we have executive orders right now to immediately resume border wall construction, to immediately end birthright citizenship for children of illegal migrants, which, by the way, that one's going to be challenged. Just go ahead and brace yourselves if you're not. I mean, he can say, we're not doing this anymore. That one, because there's a constitutional discussion on it, I think the Constitution never intended for this.
14 states have already filed suit, so.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to get contested.
Oh, yeah, it's going to go all the way up. And you know what? We may find out we can't undo it. The court, because, you know, John Roberts is still on the court, we may not get what we want, but we can pursue it, and we should. He also said he's going to declare an emergency at the southern border. He's going to send millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came. He's going to reinstitute the Remain in Mexico policy. He's ending the practice of catch and release, and he's sending U.S. troops to the southern border, all in one executive order. Or one signing of executive orders. And I love this. How many times have we talked about this on the show? He designated the drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. You know what that means, right? I mean, that gives him authorities he never would have had.
Yep. I don't know if he'll mobilize any troops to go after them, but now that they're designated as terrorists, it opens up a bunch of possibilities.
You ever seen the movie? Now you and I are going off on a tangent. Well, I'm the one going off the tangent. You're joining me.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Act of Valor? It's
yes, yeah.
Which, the acting's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
The action is amazing because they use real Navy SEALs in the movie. But if you remember, that movie was about a SEAL team going south of the border into Mexico to stop terrorists from using drug cartel tunnels. Remember that?
Yes, yeah.
And I'm not going to be a bit surprised.
No, I mean, it's not going to be easy because the cartels are so massive and, you know, they're also embedded in the Mexico government. But, I mean, you know, designating them as terrorists just opens up a lot of possibilities to actually take them on. I mean, I remember I think Shapiro talked about on his trip to the border that there would be drones flying over and he would ask the Border Patrol, he'd say, is that ours? He'd go, nope, that's the cartels.
Yeah.
So we can't shoot them down. We have to call and get Homeland Security's permission to shoot any of them down because we don't want to upset the cartels. And it's like I'm glad that cowardice is over.
Yeah. I'm gonna get into some of that here later on, but you're right. There are certain things that have already happened that you look at and go, that was not hard.
Yeah, exactly.
That was not hard to issue that order. That was that was not painful. And look what's already happening. But I'm going to say this. I think that you get one SF team down into Mexico to lay on a cartel drug lab. Locate it, get good, solid, on-the-spot intel, lays that target and bring a Tomahawk cruise missile right down the center of it and blow it up, and then just wait and watch what happens. Because I guarantee you the cartels will go, oh, crap.
Yeah, they would.
And all of a sudden they'll begin to lose their local popularity because they're no longer the local Robin Hood heroes. They get blown up. And the other piece is the Mexican government is embedded with corruption, like you were saying. Some of that is actual corruption, like avarice, like somebody wants something. They're greedy. But the other part of it is coercion. There are people in there who have been threatened that you know, the judges will kill your family, and they'll do it, man. These people are ruthless. And so I'm going to bet that what will wind up happening is we put a JDAM in the middle of one of those drug labs. And there will be people suddenly gaining a backbone because they know that America will have their back.
Yeah. I mean, yes, like you said, just being strong and, you know, peace through strength. Once they realize the United States isn't messing around anymore, I think they'll realize, you know, they'll shapen up real quick.
Yep. The other thing he went into was the energy sector. Drill, baby, drill is one of his, he's naming a national energy emergency, he said. He's also, I love this. I'm so tired of this stuff, and I'm so glad he's dealing with it. He's defending women from the gender ideology and extremism and restoring biological truth to the federal government. That's the quote from the executive action. Restoring biological truth to the federal government. He's basically telling every aspect of the U.S. government, stop pretending there's more than one gender. The United States will only recognize male and female biological from birth. And that happened immediately. And then all of a sudden, today, and this is huge, and I love this. I've been saying, how long on the show have I been saying? The last 3 years, I've been saying DEI needs the DIE. It's time to get rid of the diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense. The idea that we embed the constant discussion in the race baiting of racial and gender issues, and just become what he called a colorblind society. Well, the only way you can do that is to get rid of some of the wokeness. And so the first thing he did, he ordered, and it started today. Today, all federal government DEI offices were to close, and all of their personnel were to be sent home on paid leave until it's determined whether they can either remain employed or not. So let's do this. I got to take a break. Tell my caller that that we're taking a break because we're on that time. And then as soon as we get back from the break, I will take that call. But yeah, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. It has begun, y'all. It has begun. And when I get back and I start telling you some of these things in more detail, and then, oh, by the way, did you hear about the Coast Guard? Holy crap. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're right back, and text messages are flowing in like crazy. You guys are really in it today. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Same number. Text it or call it. So let me go to the phones real quick because line one, he held on during the break. Chris from Madison. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm good. I have a legal question or a legal request for you to make a statement on the whole birthright citizenship. If we said that the fruit of the poisonous tree, just like cops can't use evidence that they got illegally, that the children born to illegal immigrants are the fruit of the poisonous tree, so they can't get birthright citizenship, but if the immigrants here on a legal status, I agree, i.e. a green card, something like that, then they could. That would kind of get rid of some of the issues that people are having with the statement. Not that I, because I'm here about let's do it legally. And so I was just thinking that's an argument, and I was wondering what your thoughts are.
Yep, appreciate it, man. I'll go ahead and let you go, and I'll talk about it on the air so you can hear it. But thank you, Chris. I appreciate the call.
Okay.
So Chris makes a great point. Now, what he just mentioned, though, is congressional action, and I think that's what's going to take. But then you have to consider the fact that what we're looking at here is arguably a constitutional issue. So if it's constitutional, does it require an amendment to the Constitution, which is not only congressional action, but then ratification of the states? So it's high hurdles. I think what's going to have to happen, Chris, to answer your question, first of all, is we have to know where we stand right now. And the only way to truly do that is to get the matter before the Supreme Court of the United States and have them either verify or invalidate the idea of illegal immigration, birthright citizenship, and then there's going to be trickle down effects. Let's say that Supreme Court does not take up issues unilaterally. They don't reach out and grab stuff they like and bring it to them. They can only take up what is appealed to them. So I don't know that we've ever had an appeal of this issue, meaning it would be what's called a case of first impression. The Supreme see a case of first impression. They could very well interpret the constitutionality of the argument that you can be a citizen being born here by illegal immigrants. And we may have our answer at that point. Because if there's no citizenship, then bam, we're where we want to be. And then new congressional action may be vested to offer, you know, citizenship or not in other cases. Okay, I'm kind of waffling, not waffling, but I'm kind of rambling around a little bit. Here's the problem. One of the things they're going to have to watch for is what are the second and third order effects. If they invalidate, and by the way, I believe they should, if they invalidate the notion of any constitutional provision granting illegal citizens, babies, citizenship merely by being here, then what does that do to all the ones who thought they already had it? So then you're going to have a question of amnesty for those who were already granted and been operating. You're going to have people that were born here to illegal aliens 20 years ago who have been operating with a birth certificate and a passport and a status under the law for 20 years. Do we go back and invalidate that? And so there's going to be issues that have to be addressed, but that's not the Supreme's job. The Supreme's job is to interpret the Constitution. If this matter, which I think it will, if this matter gets up to the Supreme Court and they have a case of first impression before them and they agree to take it up, we first have to know where we stand right now. Then we can unwind all the rest later. Anyway, Chris, great question. Thank you for that. And I'm not sure if I answered all of your stuff, but that's kind of where we are right now. And then I see what you're saying about the fruit of the poisonous tree. That's a criminal. That's a means of looking at whether or not the evidence that is before the court was obtained illegally. I don't know that I would use that term, you know, in this particular case, obviously, but I get what your point is. And so I think we got a ways to go. First thing happened, somebody had to do something. Trump did something. Trump signed an executive order, said, yeah, I'm doing away with that. Now the lawsuits start. And within a year, I predict that if these lawsuits go forward, that we will see appellate action in the event that the courts rule one way or the other. There you go. Oh, man, a lot more to come. We're watching history getting made every day, y'all. History's getting made. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I got a whole lot more. Y'all stay tuned. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on Hump Day. And don't forget, coming up bottom of the hour, we'll have Alabama Congressman Gary Palmer calling in to talk about the first few days and where he expects things to go up in D.C. with the Trump administration. Lord, I'm going to have to get rid of – I'm still stuck in saying that. I've been saying it on the air now for almost 4 years. Whew, Lord Jesus. Hey, I got a call on the line. Steve from Tennessee. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm losing my voice, man, but it's better than losing your mind. listen, I wanted to ask you a question. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And I sat down the other night and tried to write down all the different subsets of the people that hate Trump. I'm up to 12 for all the various reasons, you know, and I was just going to kind of challenge you. I know you're smarter about this and you're more engaged with it than I'll ever be.
I don't know about that.
And I just wondered if you would kind of look at that yourself and start thinking about it. It pays to know your enemy. And I have found that when I'm trying to talk to some of these people, it helps a lot to know what subset they fit in. Some of them overlap, you know, okay, Venn diagram or whatever, but there are specific groups that hate him. And when you get down to the brass knuckles of why, it's kind of an interesting look at all these dogs and cats. Most of them aren't people you'd want to have anything to do with. Just saying.
That's Steve, that's awesome. And I tell you what, and it, to the extent you can or feel like it, text your rough list in. I'd love to see it, and then maybe I'll start comparing notes on it.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right,
I'll do that when I can.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Right, thank you.
Get well.
Yes, sir. Bye.
He always has great calls. Whenever Steve calls in, I can always tell it's going to be something that's going to be like content heavy. Let me jump into some other. So I'm in this first section, this first dipper, right? And I'm calling it, It Begins. And it does. It begins. We are in it right now, y'all. We are in it. The beginning of the golden age is what Trump called it. Now, some things have already happened in the last couple of days. Like, some of them are just a hoot. And you look at it and go, why do we even have to do this? But we do. Like I told you a minute ago, that one of the things that Trump said he was doing, and he did it by executive order, was he ordered the federal government to recognize and honor that men are men and women are women. Think about that. Recognize and honor that men are men and women are women. Now, what he just literally did was he's basically forcing anybody who receives federal funds or has a federal department can no longer use pronouns and juxtapose the language to fit their agenda. You're not going to see any more of the transgender rights issues. You're not going to see any more of the transgender soji kind of gatherings where you have to be told to be inclusive with your transgender coworker. It doesn't mean you get to beat up on people, not at all. It just means you're not required to have to condone. Remember, there's a vast difference between condemning and being told to condone, all right? I don't have to condemn someone. At the same time, I don't have to condone anything they do. And by the way, God's job is to condemn. I can say I don't like it. I can say it's, but I'm not sitting around casting hate. But don't try and tell me I have to condone it and participate in the madness. I'm not here at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. Y'all go drink your tea if you want to, but don't tell me I have to be involved in it. And by God, don't tell me my taxpayer dollars have to be used for it. So that's where we are. That just happened. What this also does, though, is it effectively is going to end the practice of putting men in women's prisons. Can I have some applause? You better get that applause button ready, dude. I'm just saying, it's going to be... We're going to end taxpayer-funded transition from male prisoners and all that kind of crap. We're going to make sure that passports actually say the biological reality, and you don't get to change your gender on your passport. Think about what a criminal can do. They can go to the far side of the world and then be something different, and then come back saying they're something different than they were when they got it. It just makes no. Why would we do this to ourselves? What I had forgotten in all this, though. You know, and I've said on the show multiple times, leadership sets a tone in which things, it creates an environment. Leadership is not always about being the one who does it. Sometimes it's about creating the environment and enabling those to do it. Leadership is about being able to encourage and exhort and empower people to do things they might not have otherwise done. And you can be both a positive leader and a negative leader. Biden, I'd forgotten this. What Trump just did was he basically repealed a Biden executive order that forced transgenderism on the nation. I'd forgotten about that. I'd forgotten that this was not just a sort of a looking aside and not standing in the way of kind of moment by Biden. It wasn't. This was a repeal of Biden's executive order. Biden had been forcing transgenderism on the states. Here's one more piece that kind of segues off of that. Marco Rubio, the very first of the Trump administration appointees to be confirmed before the Senate. That was a layup. I mean, granted, he's good for the job. I think Rubio will make a great Secretary of State. Rubio is also, you know, most recently a peer of the senators who are confirming, so he had the easiest walk in the door.
I'm still shocked it was unanimous, though. I'm pleased it was, but I'm still, I think that's a testament to him.
It's a testament to him. It's also something that indicates that we can get that done unanimously if they'll stop being jackasses.
Mm-hmm.
Like you and I were talking before the show. Apparently Adam Schiff is in some way placing a procedural block on the idea of Pam Bondi being confirmed.
7-day hold.
And I'm sure part of that is because there are procedural hurdles you have to go through unless they are waived by the body, right? Like it can be announced and then they're allowed a certain amount of time to review and process and do due diligence. And that, I'm pretty sure that's what this is. But you're also allowed to waive that by unanimous consent. And by withholding his unanimous consent, he's effectively putting a block on it for 7 days. There's no reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
Pam Bondi's going to get confirmed.
It's just being a nuisance.
It's being an ass.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, back to my point. I digress. Marco Rubio just got confirmed as Secretary of State. One of the first things he did was issue an order that nothing but the American flag and the POW/MIA flag will be flown at U.S. embassies worldwide. There will be no more State Department hanging and flying of the rainbow LGBTQ flag or the Black Lives Matter flag, all of which have happened. Like in April of 21, Secretary of State Antony Blinken actually authorized U.S. embassies to fly the rainbow pride flag in, you know, countries around the world, which, by the way, can cause some massive offense. He authorized the Black Lives Matter flag to be flown at embassies, which was done in February of 22. I mean, just you look at it and go, come on, people. But then how about this one? All right, so how many of y'all are at work today, right? I'm sitting in studio. JP's in studio. We got things to do. We show up. We got our job done. Is there a time we have to call in sick once in a while? Of course there is. Do you do it for 3 years in a row? No. Where are all these federal employees? We have whole buildings that are empty, and we're paying rent on them. Why is that? Because the Biden administration does not lead. The Biden administration coddled people. The Biden administration is all about equity, diversity, inclusion, and abuse of your tax dollar. So Trump made a promise, and he signed an executive order shutting down the idea of employees being allowed to work remotely and ordering federal employees back to in-person full-time work. Ba-bam! Will there be the occasional Zoom meeting? Certainly. Will people still be on Teams once in a while doing their group calls? Of course they will. But not because they're all sitting at home in their stretchy pants, drinking coffee with Bedhead while they do their work. They're going to be looking like professionals, putting on real clothes, and walking out their door on time to get to the office, because that's what grown-up people do. Sorry for your luck. That's just life. I got more on this stuff, but I'll tell you what, let me get a call right now before I run out of time. Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Well, doing quite well. You know, Adam Schiff, you know, kind of a weasel-looking kind of guy. You know the guy in high school that always in the back of the room?
Yeah.
You know, not doing homework or paperwork, if you know what I'm saying. And I think this cross-examination of Pam Bondi is as close as he's going to get to a hot-looking girl like that. And I think he just wants to talk to her again, that sleazeball. All right? Bottom line is this. Look it. Why don't we all grow up, which a lot of them are not going to grow up, and they've been corrupting, spending like drunken sailors, and I know I can't because I got bills to pay, and I'm out of budget. And that's what we need, and we have the right man in there that's going to put things back in place, get us in budget, lower this deficit. And I told you my plan was, if you're drilling, baby, drill, like he says, 10% off the top goes right to the debt. The PASCO, stuff like that. Just put it right toward the debt. But the bottom line is this, Bill. Now we're going to have to put it back to common sense, just like your program. And we're not doing it to be hateful, although they like to be hateful. They can do that really well. I want everybody to do well, and I've always said that, and that's what this president's going to do. It bring prosperity, security, and a better way of life for every American.
Amen to all of it. Amen. Preach it.
All right.
See you, Wolverine. Bro. He's right. He's so right. I'm saying. All right, listen, we're taking a break. We'll come right back. We'll finish up some more of this, and then coming up bottom of the hour, Congressman Gary Palmer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So, all right, I got plenty of stuff. And coming up here in a few minutes, we'll be taking a call in from Congressman Gary Palmer to get his thoughts on what's going on right now in the House and you know, maybe even looking across the rotunda at the Senate. But let me just keep on telling you about a few things that have already happened. Because the Trump effect is legit. It's real. Things are happening. And what I love is this did not start off with, okay, now we're going to study this for a bit and then we'll find our way to implement. He just said, get it done. One of the things that happened was DEI offices everywhere closed today at noon. Noon. DEI nonsense shut down across the federal government today, putting out all the workers on paid leave. Paid leave? Thank you. Good call on that one. So, by close of business on Tuesday, all federal workers were to be closed. Shutting down today, it began at noon. And what they had to do was put all the workers out on paid leave. They'll figure out what's going to happen. Townhall.com reports it right now and says the far-left social experiment, which contributes nothing to society except wasting taxpayer money, is over. It says we are wiping away the stains of Joe Biden's sanity has returned. I've got a copy of the Office of Personnel and Management's memorandum that was sent out to the various department heads saying you will close down these offices immediately. I love it. I can't tell you how much I love it. I love that I love it. I love that I love it more. I want to love it more. I like it so much. Okay. I got some other stuff. I don't know how much we're going to get it. I got so many text messages I can't even keep up right now, too. You guys are loving this, too, I can tell. But here's one that got me. I know you're a big fan of Kash Patel. I am, too, but I know you mentioned it several times.
Mm-hmm. He's a stud.
Yeah. And And by the way, have they even announced when he's going to wind up having his confirmation hearing yet?
I don't think they've had I think him and Gabbard and RFK still have theirs. He's to be scheduled. No, yeah.
To be scheduled.
Yeah.
Let's get her done, fellas.
I know.
So, Kash Patel not being in yet. The White House has announced a guy named Brian Driscoll, who is apparently a stud in himself. He used to command the hostage rescue team, and, I mean, he's legit. It seems there's no reason to believe that he's anything but the guy you would want to be up there as the acting director for the time being. Brian Driscoll being appointed as the acting director, President Trump also signed a memorandum called Restoring Accountability for Career Senior Executives. Members of the FBI are to take note now, too. What this basically means is federal employees, regardless of their level, can be fired. He basically asserted, if you're screwing up, I'm going to fire you. How many times on the show we talked about a lack of accountability with the Biden administration? You could screw up. It's the only place in the world where you could fail up is U.S. government. Trump just announced, I don't care if you're an SES-level employee. I don't care. If you're screwing up, guess what? If you're not on board with the plan, guess what? You can be fired. And it already started.
And, Hex has said it, too, in his speech about, you know, generals who lose a war get promoted. And so, I mean, it's in all aspects of the government, of people failing upwards.
Yeah. I just reached into my stack and had to grab one that was at the bottom. It's also from townhall.com. Speaking of which, FEMA director, she just left. She's gone. FEMA director Deanne Criswell departed the agency on Monday as Trump's new administration began. Yes. I mean, she basically knew. She knew the hand irons on the wall. She just went ahead and said, I'm not going to wait until they make me a, burn me an effigy. I'm going to go ahead and call it done. So the FEMA director is gone. We're watching. Some of these are what I would call self-deporting, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're heading out the door knowing full well that they have so screwed up that there's no way in the world they would keep their jobs. And by the way, granted, there are careerists in government, and I get that. That's fine. I have no fault with anybody being in government employee. But what I do have a fault with is when the bureaucrats forget where they came from and they begin to believe that no one understands it except for them and they will do what they want to do regardless of what the plan is. That's when you have a bureaucracy. That's when you have a deep state. And that's when you have trouble. And those people are now on notice. Now, do I have time for this? How much time have I got?
Got about a minute.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, I'm going to take these two stories about the Coast Guard and put them over here with my dipper number two on military stuff, even though they are quasi-military. They are military, but they are under the Department of Homeland Security. But what am I going to do about how do I handle? Well, I'll do this one. Okay, I'll do that one in military.
We can also mention Trump's executive order that he just signed about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
Here,
told me during the break.
He's effectively shut down all migrant entries across all ports of entry at the southern border. That was 2:52, so that's about 20 minutes ago.
All migration at the borders.
All migration at the border is now shut down. Obviously, it's not going to be permanent, but just to get things under control. So,
did you see that the CBP app,
yep,
the Customs and Border Patrol app, within 10 minutes of Trump taking the oath of office, the app came down.
Yep. And migrants were freaking out at the border. There's a picture of everybody holding up their phones to the camera, and it had like an app no longer found thing on the screen. It's awesome.
Tom Homan, by the way, is already busy.
Yes. Yeah.
Tom Homan is already busy. President-elect Trump's border czar, according to TheHill.com, said the incoming administration has taken off the handcuffs from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. ICE after the inauguration next week, allowing them to do their jobs. That's the way it should be. But the Wall Street Journal and The Hill are both reporting that they have copies of the plans and that there are major raids starting in Chicago. Why? Because the mayor of Chicago says he won't help. So they're like, okay, we're coming to your town first then. I'm loving it. Big raids coming, he says, all across the country, Chicago being just one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, Congressman Gary Palmer. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about Huntsville to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. All right. Well, listen, we're going to the phones right now, as promised. I'm glad to bring back on the show someone who is a friend of the show, who's been on many times. Got to see him a little bit while we were up in D.C. the last few days for the events of the inauguration. Congressman Gary Palmer, representing the state of Alabama, is part of our federal delegation. And he's actually, I think, stepped off the floor from votes right now to take a call in with the show. Congressman Palmer, how you doing, sir?
Good, Phil. It's been a little busy.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm glad. I think it's been a good kind of busy is what it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just by the reaction from my Democratic colleagues, we're doing what we're supposed to do. They're fit to be tied.
Well, good.
Some of them need to be tied.
Yeah. Well, if Democrat heads are exploding, then we're all happier. Let me tell you what. You got any updates? What are y'all working on right now before I even go into the other topics at hand?
Well, we're about to vote on passage of the Lincoln-Riley Act.
Yeah.
And I presided over the final part of the debate today in the chair. And what I've seen, we had a hearing today in Energy and Commerce, and what I'm seeing and hearing from some of my colleagues, it's very apparent that the Democrats learned absolutely nothing from this election.
Yeah.
They want to talk about January 6th. They want to talk about President Trump pardoning 1,500 people who, in my opinion, were inappropriately and put in jail or charged with crimes. It's all about that. They want to talk about anything but what the American people care about, and they talk about it's almost laughable. They talk about how we need to be focused on bringing down the cost of living, and I want to remind them that they increased federal spending in just 2 years by $10 trillion and caused inflation to go through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have thought of that then.
Well, it's amazing, and you're right. I don't think they can read the room. I don't think they have any idea. Or if they do, they're just so belligerently recalcitrant on this whole thing that they're going to hang on because that's the only thing they've got. It's kind of like trying to argue that Elon Musk was doing a Nazi salute and try to make it stick. It's just not sticking anymore.
Well, in their closing argument on the Lincoln-Riley bill, it was all about the FBI. And I'm not kidding. It was all about the FBI spent millions and millions of dollars arresting people who were part of the riot at the Capitol, you know, the insurrectionists. And I'm thinking the FBI should have been sending that money on arresting people who came here illegally with criminal records.
Yes, absolutely.
No, they went after people who were protesting at the Capitol. They went after families who showed up at a PTA meeting or at a school board meeting. Or they had agents in Catholic churches and other churches that were pro-life. They spent millions of dollars on that, Phil, during the Biden administration, rather than making our community safe and secure from crimes that are being committed every stinking day by people who are here illegally.
Well, I love the fact that one of the first bills that Trump may have from the new Congress to sign is the Lincoln-Riley Act. And I guess what are y'all voting for passage of the amended bill as it came back from the Senate? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, this will be the first bill that's laid on his desk.
That's great. That's amazing.
This is final passage here in just a few minutes.
Well, I know that Alabama's Senator Britt has been the Senate lead sponsor, and our House delegation, you included, have been super supportive of this thing and getting it through the lines. So I think it's a great testament to Alabama that we're seeing this be one of the first bills to go forward. But the nation needs it. And I love the fact that one of the first pieces of legislation is a promise kept about making reforms on immigration and criminal illegal aliens.
Yeah. Katie, Senator Britt's actually coming over to the chamber, and I'm going to escort her onto the chamber, into the House chamber, for this final vote.
Well, outstanding.
She texted me a little while ago that she wanted to come on over. So it really is a major bill. A lot of people think, well, it's about this one crime in Georgia, but no.
No, it's not.
There's thousands and thousands of victims of crimes committed by people here illegally. And I thought Tom McClintock, Republican from California, who was leading the bill on the floor for us, did a marvelous job of in his closing argument. And a couple other guys just started reading the names of victims, and there are many more. I mean, you remember all the way back 2014, 2015, Kate Steinle was killed in San Francisco.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that helped Trump get elected.
I agree.
Unfortunately. But killed by someone who had stolen a gun out of a forest ranger's vehicle, a rental vehicle, and discharged it and killed her.
Yeah.
And there are others. I mean, it's unbelievable what we've allowed to happen in our country.
Well, it is unbelievable. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes tragedy to become a rallying cry so that we can get things done. And I'm not saying I'm looking for tragedy. What I'm saying, though, is at the very least, we can't bring back Lake and Riley, but we can honor her memory. It's just like, you know, it's like Remember the Alamo. The members of the force at the Alamo were wiped out, but that became the rallying cry that you know, brought in General Sam Houston and saved the Texas Republic. So I'm just saying, let's make a rallying cry out of it and get something done. And I appreciate the fact that y'all are. But let me ask you this: besides the Lake and Riley Act, what's the mood? What's the tenor like? I mean, I know that most of the House, maybe you were there, I don't know, were on Hannity last night. Were you there for that?
No, I had a hearing today, and I'm not someone that feels like I've got to be in front of the camera or behind the camera or microphone, whatever, all the time. And I wanted to prepare for this very first hearing, and it was about chemicals, and I knew where the Democrats would be coming on this. And we had the hearing today, and it was their usual hypocrisy. And, you know, again, all about how the Republicans are doing the will of big corporations, and it has obviously, again, they're clueless about where the American people are on things. One of the things that I brought up, speaking of hypocrisy, is that when they had the majority, they passed a bill to basically eliminate a chemical known as PFAS. It's a phosphate fluoride, and it has medical it's applicable in medical procedures. That I pointed out today that it is a major part of the manufacture of solar panels that hardens the outside, which they're fine with that, even though a solar panel can't be recycled. And so we're burying God knows how many tons of solar panels with PFAS. But it's just amazing. I sit and listen to them, and I think, what planet are you on?
Yeah, well, they're not on the same planet we're on, that's for sure. Like I said earlier, they're not reading the room. Hey, let me go back to, I started to ask a question, then I diverted myself. But what is the mood right now among the members of the House, the Republican House? I mean, is there a sense that things are different, or are y'all operating as like business as usual with a little more oomph? I mean, what are you seeing? What's it feel like right now by comparison to last week?
Well, I think we're much more focused. We spent hours and hours working on the reconciliation package.
Yeah.
And we had the key committee chairman all sit and take questions from us this afternoon. And we're going to get, as Trump says, one big, beautiful bill passed. Now, the question is, what all can we get in it? And I'm working on some things. One is the RAINS Act that if we can get that into the bill, it's a game changer, Phil, because it will eliminate the ability of agencies to make law through rulemaking or through regulations.
And yes.
And will require Congress to actually do its job. So we're on a deadline, and everybody knows it. So I think that's got us much more focused. There's still people that have differences of opinion on what that want two bills instead of one. And I think we need to get as much in this bill as we can, get it done, get the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act extended and maybe made permanent. And I think what President Trump did, I had recommended to his campaign team last year, and then I spoke to Stephen Miller about 3 weeks ago about this, that on the energy side, we and critical minerals and rare earth side of things, we needed to declare those essential to our national security and utilize the Defense Production Act. And I said, that way you can permit immediately, because we were all concerned about what we needed to do on energy, being able to get things permitted.
Right.
And Miller's response was, that's, you know, we hadn't thought of that. Well, that's what the president did with his executive orders 2 days ago. He declared it a national security emergency on energy. So I think it's not only going to generate billions of dollars in revenue, it's going to be huge help to our allies in Europe. They won't have to buy any more gas from Russia or Iran.
Yeah, I think that I agree with you. I think that was one of the things that had to happen. It's part of the ability to move things forward quickly. And I think there's with the exception of the Democrats, which are not going to be happy. If we told them the sky was blue, they still wouldn't be happy. But the reality is we're looking at things that the first 100 days, in my opinion, are critical. The first 2 years are the most critical of the four. And so we want to see as much done as quickly as possible so that we can settle into getting some of the longer term issues dealt with. And I think y'all are on the right track. I love the idea of one reconciliation bill, getting it merged, getting the agenda done all at one time.
Well, I think we've got some members that think, well, we do one reconciliation bill, we're one and done. And I stood up in front of the conference a while back and said, look, reconciliation is not the end, it's the beginning.
Yes, it is.
And we've got another chance to do reconciliation later on. But there's a lot of things that you can't do through reconciliation that you're going to have to bring to the floor. You're going to have to make your points. And as Margaret Thatcher famously said, you got to win the debate before you win the vote. And that's what we need to do. But I think that if we do our job, if we, and not just in the first 100 days, but over the next 18 months, I think we can not only hold our majority in the House, I think we can add to it. Because if the Democrats persist in the arguments that they're making now, it's no different than what cost them the White House, the Senate, and a chance at a majority in the House. I think the tide has turned, and people are just tired of being talked down to, tired of being forced to accept this DEI stuff. They went way too far.
Yep.
And I think we got a chance to, I've told my guys, we got a chance to go down in history as one of the greatest Congresses ever. But you don't achieve greatness doing easy things.
No.
You got to do some hard things.
You absolutely do. And I tell you what, Congressman, I appreciate it. I know what you stand for. I've been around you a bit, and I want to thank you in advance. I know that you got more to do. I'm out of time right now, and I know you got to get back to what you've been up to, but the bottom line is this. Let's stay in touch. I want to have you on more often. Both our Alabama and Tennessee audiences want to hear this stuff, so we'll keep going, all right?
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, sir. Take care now. That's Congressman Gary Palmer from Alabama, and, yeah, he's been in the thick of it. And just, it's kind of cool, this show, take it to a break, JP, but this show just got him literally out of the chair where he was presiding over the House, the debate, to get the Laken Riley Act moved through to become the first bill sponsored by Alabama Senator Katie Britt to Trump's desk. Loving that, loving the connection, and love the fact that this show has the connections to bring it to you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. I got to get some text messages. We're going to come up in a few minutes with the Grand Council. I ran long with the congressman, so we'll have a very short segment here. And then after the 4 o'clock break, Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. But let me get a few of these texts because, I mean, y'all are stacking them up, and I can't even keep up with you. Mike from Florence says, not only did Trump change it to the Gulf of America, he also shipped in snow to make people remember when it happened.
And what I read from that is he ended global warming day one. I mean, we got snow on Orange Beach. Like, I think that's what that means.
JP!
Yeah.
That's, okay, this... That's pretty funny. Rita from Scottsboro says, I think the last 4 years Trump went through, there is no greater meaning for the biblical saying, no weapon drawn against you shall prosper. No doubt. Thank you, Rita. And I know what you believe. So, yes, thank you very much. JT Lacey Springs says, Gulf of America. Yes. And the snow is a symbol of the cleansing. What timing. Perfect. Gary from Decatur says, Phil, just explain to me how one interpretation of the 14th Amendment is a legal precedent and another is just an opinion. I think the main issue is if the person was, quote, in control of the by the U.S. government, illegals obviously were not in control of the government by virtue of breaking the law to enter the country. You know, so the reality is that's part of the argument, Gary. You make a great point. It's going to be a legal interpretation. What's happened right now is in the absence of Supreme Court ruling to the contrary, there has been an opportunity for regulatory or bureaucratic interpretation over the years. And this level of challenge now, I think there have been cases in which birthright citizenship was raised, but not to the level that we're talking about. So, yeah. Jim from Athens says, would you want your cardiologist to be DEI or the best? Can you imagine? Yeah, I agree. Bruce from Springville says, I mean, I don't want my Uber driver to be DEI. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want a merit. By the way, I'm pretty sure I had one. And she was sweet, but she did not know her way around town, and she was lost as a coot.
Well, I love how you said she was asking you what.
Asking me for directions.
I don't live here.
I had to look at her and say, ma'am, I don't know. I'm not from here. Always, by the way, when you ride an Uber, leave your own app open so you can watch the roads. I said, my app says you can turn left, but I see the road is closed. Well, then you can't turn left. Anyway, Bruce from Springville says, did you see the faces on Biden and Harris during Trump's inaugural speech? Yes. Yes, I did. That was one of my favorite pieces. He said they look like two slapped around stepchildren. Yes. Yes, they did. Luann from Huntsville says, birthing people worry if their clump of cells will be born and become U.S. citizens or not. Wow, Luann. Luann, bringing it. Luann.
We left that terminology in Biden's administration.
Yes, by executive order. We did away with it. Greg from Athens says, I know you hate these. What? You sent me a meme?
He wrote in his interpretation of the 14th Amendment.
You wrote your interpretation on the 14th Amendment on a sticky note and then sent me a picture of it? What the heck, man? Okay. Greg, thank you. Flip from Priceville says, Phil, did you see the clip of the Border Patrol with riot shields lined across the point of entry? Yes, I did.
Not even 10 minutes after the inauguration was over.
Just, it's a whole new day, y'all. All right, you got a lot more text messages, but before we do anything, we got to take a break. Come right back, and we'll have the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. I mean, we can play the camel at the beginning of the show, but it's not complete until we get to the 4 o'clock hour on Wednesdays and we bring in the Grand Council. So I have two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing this longer than me, and they come on in and we ping each other with questions. We see where the chips fall. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we always love each other when it's done. So without further ado, let me call the roll from FM Talk 106.5 snowed in down there in Snowmageddon in Mobile, Alabama. That would be the host of the Jeff Poore Show. Also, by the way, he's the editor-in-chief of 1819 News. Jeff Poore, are you snowed in, brother?
I am, man. I am present.
you live in Mobile, so you don't have to have snow, and you got all the snow.
I live in Fairhope.
You live in Fairhope, Eastern Shore. And y'all, how much snow did you get? How many inches?
Eight.
What? 8 inches of snow in Fairhope, Alabama.
Yep.
This could be a sign of the end times. I don't know.
It's that Gulf of America wind.
All right, let me finish calling the roll. And turning my attention to the north from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, he does a lot of stuff with TV and other radio shows. And, oh, by the way, he works with Yellowhammer News. That would be Dale Jackson. You're present, aren't you? There you are. Stand at ease. I call a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da! All right, so I'm going to go to Jeff first because he sounds like he needs his mood elevated since he's been snowed in and he's got snow depression. What's going on, Jeff?
Well, I have been out. I have been around. The difference between a snow down here and anywhere else I've ever lived, everything's flat, so you don't have a lot of mountains to climb. But anyway, I digress. Here's a question for you guys.
Okay, yeah.
When I was in school, I used to pray for snow. I used to pray for inclement weather. And I never got my prayers answered. Now, if the wind blows a certain direction, man, they clear out the schools in a hurry. They've already canceled school for the rest of the week. And the roads are already starting to clear up today, and it's Wednesday afternoon. What changed in our lives that the powers that be that run our schools are eager, it seems, whereas once they were reluctant to cancel school?
Because people got soft. I mean, freaking, I'm older than both of you guys. I rode in the back of pickup trucks. I drank from the garden hose. I had pizza for lunch at school. And yes, I remember walking in the snow. I used to walk to my elementary school. I was a latchkey kid. I came home in the afternoons by myself with a key tied around my neck. And I walked to school, and I remember walking to school with snow on the ground. Uphill both ways, but you know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man. It's crazy, and I just think there's like this softer mentality. Dale, your thoughts? I know you got them.
It's your fault, Senator Williams. It's the lawyers. You guys did this.
It's
100% y'all's fault. So this is 100% on you guys, and it wouldn't be happening if you guys weren't so damn litigious. They're afraid of everything. They don't want to worry about anything. It's easier to make a decision like that than make a hard decision. And they have it's very easy for them to do. And on top of that, parents will complain more about the non-snow day than they will about the snow day. So I think that there's a calculus here on the part of the schools.
First of all, I disavow anything you just said. I'm one of the common sense lawyers. I'm like, no, not going to happen.
A lawyer and a politician, sure. Also an Army officer. Yeah, I'm sure you're just full of common sense.
And I sold used cars in my past. All right. Well, Jeff, what are you thinking, man? What's the solution to your question?
I think Dale's partially right, blaming lawyers, but I might like teachers' unions have, they just always look for ways to get out of work. And, used to have an administrator. So, we used to have statute say you had to go to school so many days.
Yeah.
I think it's gotten worse post COVID.
It's absolutely gotten worse post COVID.
I'm more upset with the half days than I am the whole days off. You got to blow up a whole school day because of weather or whatever. Go right ahead and do it. 8 inches seems like a pretty damn good reason to blow off a whole day of school. Maybe not a whole week. Who knows? But my problem is the half days. Like, North Alabama, it was 2-hour delays today.
You're just mad because Grant can run in on your show while you're broadcasting from your house.
My kid goes to a very elite private school. They do not take the days off. He was there when he was supposed to be there today.
But you live on high ground. I know it's hard to get down to low ground. Where's the school?
That sounds like a Sydney problem, not a Dale problem.
But we've also done this thing where we have to have our kids with laptops and fiber optic cables supplied by the government in their front yard so they don't have to go anywhere. They can just sit in front of a computer.
Just log into class and see all the wonderful things that happen.
I just don't do that. These guys need to knock that off.
All I know is I went back when it was hard, and we put a man on the moon in my generation. So thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, next question. Dale, what do you got?
Do we have a border czar right now or not? I need to know this because it looks like they're going hard on this immigration stuff.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're getting it right. So are we going to be able to say there's a border czar down the line, or is Tom Homan and Trump going to be like, I was never the border czar. I don't know what you're talking about, like Biden and Harris did.
It's not an official position, Dale Jackson.
it's a czar. By the way, do you have a badge that says czar? Is that something we call it? I've never understood if that was.
He should because he's doing a great job already. So let's give him whatever he wants.
Is that on his letterhead? Does it say czar on his business card? But
you use the czar as a way so it's not a cabinet post. It has to be confirmed by the Senate or whatever. But you give him as much power as you can legally, and that's why they apply the czar term to him.
Well, the bottom line is, I see that 1819 News has an article with Katie Britt. congratulating Tom Homan on the fact that he's already got raids going on already, like on day two. And then I did see earlier today, I've got another story here from a national publication that talks about Tom Homan saying, yeah, the Wall Street Journal leaked some of the terms of our plans, but then we'll go ahead and just confirm for you that we're going to Chicago first because Mayor Johnson there is saying he's not going to help us. So we'll just show up in your town first there, Johnson, and get something done. I think they've got it going on. I'm pretty sure Tom Homan's already on the job with business cards that say Czar.
Good.
Just saying. All right, next question. Is it possible that Gulf of America will really stick? Are we going to be the Gulf of America? Is Jeff going to live down there on the Gulf of America in Fairhope? Like, is that name going to stay around? Or is it going to be just for this 4 years and then it goes away and we all look back on that time when we were willing to call it the Gulf of America? Jeff.
I think the way the people who draw the maps and academics will shun it because it's Trump. But I dare the next president to sign an executive order saying it's going to go back to Gulf of Mexico.
Yes. I agree with that sentiment. I think that's one of those things that he did that was brash, but he put people in a box where they've got to have some big kahunas to go ahead now and say, we don't want to call it the Gulf of America anymore. We think that's mean. And if
I mean, we don't call it Leningrad. We don't call it Constantinople. I mean, the names of things change, so I don't know how it's going to go.
Is it Istanbul or Constantinople? Is it Istanbul? Okay, but Dale, what do you think?
That's up to the Turks. Here's the issue that I think you're going to have to remember. They'll run on this. They will run on doing away with the Gulf of Mexico. They're stupid, but they will do it. They will say, Donald Trump did this, and we'll go back and rename it the Gulf of Mexico. Now, somebody who grew up in Bradenton, Florida, with Anna Maria Island right there, spent a lot of my radio career at Panama City, we always called it Gulf of America. I always wondered what you guys were talking about. I grew up on the Gulf of America, and this is just normal for me.
This is not, nothing's normal for you.
I think you're lying.
Nothing's normal for you.
I am lying.
You just make crap up.
But the amazing part is it's great, and I think people will come around to it. It'll become second nature, but next election cycle, they will talk about Gulf of America. They'll call it one of the stupider things Trump did.
I think that he boxed him in by calling it Gulf of America. If he called it Gulf of Trump, it'd be gone right away. But,
sure.
But by naming it that, I think he knew exactly what he was doing, and he went straight MAGA on it, and I think it's got a good chance of sticking. All right, that went fast. That's round one with our snowbound friend from the South who got all the snow that we usually have in the North. Jeff Poore down yonder in Mobile, Dell Jackson up in Huntsville, and just little old me right here in the Right Side Studios. Grand Council round two coming up. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dell Jackson. Jeff Poore, first question, round two. What you got?
Headline, CNBC just about 45 minutes ago. CNN to lay off hundreds of employees as post-inauguration transformation begins, sources say. Subheadline, NBC News is also planning layoffs this week, although the scale will be much smaller than those at CNN. Is this the beginning of what I've been talking about this the whole time, but is this the beginning or a blip on the radar?
Well, since we're seeing the death of DEI, what just happened is that all of the DEI employees at CNN now don't have jobs. I mean, like that was DEI central. So I guess they're all out of work. But I think so. I mean, I think what you're looking at right now is they did so poorly during the lead up to the most momentous election in modern history. And they so missed it and they so were off brand with the general public that their ratings plummeted. And the only way they can do this is to streamline and radically make some changes within. And they can't do that by keeping the same people because they're so ingrained in their dogma. But truth be told, a bunch of them were DEI anyway. But Dale?
Yeah, the question is, who are these people getting fired? Are they going to be their unlikable people like Jake Tapper and Jim Acosta? Will they stay on, or will you see guys like Scott Jennings get trimmed? Who's it going to be? That's going to be, or will it be nameless nobodies behind the scenes? I mean, there's a lot of questions about this. Does Joy Reid stay employed at NBC? I mean, that when you give me those answers, then I'll know what this is.
Didn't Jim Acosta already get let go? Did that just happen a couple days ago, Jeff?
No, he's still on. He was on the day at least. The Joy Reid departure from MSNBC has been long rumored, or long reported, but somehow she keeps hanging on. Guys, I'm telling you, and I'm sticking by this. I told you all this. They got the November 5th election so wrong that the companies that own these, there's no return on investment because these are expensive legacy media operations. Everybody's cord cutting. No one's getting their news from cable. And I'm telling you that the advertisers are leaving too because it used to be, like, guys, you used to watch Fox News, and that was where the most eyeballs were, and it would make sense. They have all the premium advertisers, but they don't. The way the advertising works on cable news is you want a brand association, and all these pharmaceutical companies or whatever were being told, look, you want to be associated with our brand because we're more left of center. The country's going woke. You want to be with us. And that train's leaving the station, and it turned out that train was never at the station, and that's what I think is going on here. I think that, you know, the emperor has no clothes is finally coming to be, and you're going to see a downsizing of these, like, things that we kind of grew up with. I think even print media, digital print media, are going by the wayside.
That may be a record for the most pithy analogies in one phraseology that I've ever heard from you, Jeff. That was impressive. Just saying. Trains and all of it. That was good. Jeff is silent.
Dale, I talk too much.
Dale, what's your question, dude?
AL.com ran a cartoon the other day, and I'm going to describe it to the listeners both in Chattanooga, Huntsville, and everywhere else. It's a picture of Martin Luther King looking down on Donald Trump, who's swearing in, I guess, has his hand on the Bible, so J.D. Crow got that wrong. He's also wearing a crown, and King says, "I had a dream." What the hell does this even mean? Well, tell me what he's trying to say.
J.D. Crow is trying to say, I'm a liberal, racist, race baiter, click baiter, and I just live in my own world, and I draw cartoons about things that people don't agree with. That's what he is. I mean, he is absolutely one of the most inflammatory, get it wrong cartoonists out there.
J.D. Crow, my neighbor, by the way.
Is he really? Go throw a snowball at his house, please, and say it's
for me. Were talking about taking my kid down there to go trick-or-treating, but I still haven't done that. Anyway, his whole shtick is he doesn't believe any of this. I am convinced. I think it's just job security for him. I think he does these cartoons because that's what the editorial staff, the hierarchy that runs Alabama Media Group wants him to do. Be as liberal and let your freak flag fly. I mean, maybe he believes it. I'm going to say this. J.D. Crow pre-Newhouse days was a way more moderate guy. And then when these guys that bought the current owners, he flipped a switch. I don't know. I think there's some kind of financial incentive for him to have his nice little home in the Fruit and Nut District in Fairhope and be able to draw these cartoons that he just goes along with whatever they want.
See, there's an entire genre out there of people that do editorial cartoons the same as people that write op-eds, and some of them will do it for pay. What do you want drawn? I'll draw it. And then there's the others who are the purists that is if they draw their own opinions. I get the feeling that you're telling me J.D. Crow is a gun for hire when it comes to what he draws. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know that he's conservative or he ever was conservative, but he is definitely not as liberal. Or he had a big change in life as soon as somebody bought the media properties he works for to where he's gone off into the left-wing ditch.
Wow. Wow. And he's your neighbor. So, like I said, go throw a snowball at his house and tell him it's from me up in North Alabama. That'd be huge.
He's got a big statue of a crow in his front yard. I need to send you guys a picture next time I'm walking down that way.
That's got to be a violation of an HOA or something. I don't know. All right, last question. Tubbs says he spoke to Trump and Space Command. He feels pretty good about it coming back to Alabama. Any predictions on when do we think we'll see a timeline on that thing happening? Dale, you first, since that's your neck of the woods. We got 1 minute.
I think everyone expects that it is going to happen eventually. I think it'll move slowly. But they need to get it done here real quick before we have any more changes in leadership of the House or the Senate. Or the presidency. This thing's going on for way too long. Make a damn decision.
I completely agree. Jeff, your thoughts, Space Command.
I would expect a announcement here probably in the coming days. It will be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm going to say that he gets Pete Hegseth confirmed, and then we start seeing these kind of announcements so that it can be DOD related with the secretary helping make the announcement from his post. That's my thoughts, but yeah, I do believe Space Command is coming, and I think the handwriting's already on the wall for that. All right, fellas, appreciate you both. That's Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN up yonder in Huntsville and with Yellowhammer News, and just little old me sitting right here in the Right Side Studios. We do it every Wednesday. We call it the Grand Council. We cover down on any number of things, most of which are, you know, controversial and sometimes not, but we have a good time doing it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back for the last half hour of Hump Day. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about Huntsville to Chattanooga, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, speaking of all that covering ground, there's other ways you can watch the show, too. So, yeah. And by the way, we have some neat meetings coming up that I'm looking forward to making some other announcements in the near future about the radio show. But let me just tell you something else. A bunch of y'all are watching online right now, and we know it, and we appreciate it. We are on a variety of platforms, not the least of which is YouTube or our website or through two different accounts on Twitter or X. One is mine, at @SendPhilWilliams, and the other one is just @RightSide_Media is our corporate account. And we broadcast the show live online, in, you know, audio and video, so you can watch inside the studio, especially when we have guests. So, listen, that's how Charlene watches or listens to the show most of the time, is by doing it online on her phone. So let me just encourage you, if you haven't already done so, check out the other means by which you can get the show. And just know that no matter where you are in the big wide world, you can go to the World Wide Web and still get the show. We have folks right now, like I just saw that Marshall from Dubai checked in, so appreciate that. We got people from all over the place that are watching well outside of our overly broad listening area on radio proper. And I'll just go ahead and tell you too. We were just talking. I wasn't going to talk much about it yet, but I'm going to anyway. I got deplatformed by Facebook back in the day. Like I was like done with you. I had thousands of followers on our friends. I had thousands of friends on Facebook and lost it all. And for no explanation, except that I'm pretty sure I was a conservative. That's all it took. And we're going to look into the idea that since Mark Zuckerberg appears to have seen the light, maybe we can, is there a way to get that Facebook page back? I want to know, because we could immediately begin broadcasting the show right there on Facebook again, if instead of rebuilding account from scratch.
Yeah. And you know, it's, we could probably appeal that, and since, like you said, Zuckerberg's seen the light, and
yeah,
see if his change of heart, if he'll grant us that account back.
Let's see what happens. We got a ton of text messages, YouTube. Let's get a few of these. Let's just do that right now. You had some on YouTube you were saying a minute ago.
Yeah,
what you got?
YouTube comments. So first, we have Pat Jones say hello from Decatur, Alabama. Hello. Another comment said Chuck the Duck is listening. So
Chuck,
there you go.
Chuck the Duck. All right.
And then I got a text or a comment from Lonnie Varner. He said, I've called the body of water south of Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana the Gulf of Florida for 45 years.
The Gulf of Florida.
So there you go.
Nice. I got a ton of, let me get a text message. How about that? Victor from Huntsville checked in. He says, Phil, Trump needs to ensure that federal employees' annual performance evaluations don't have a criterion that grades everyone on how many EEO activities they participate in. Yes. Yes. You know what, Victor? I thought about this yesterday in the military side of things. I didn't realize that civilian, but it makes sense that civilian employees were doing this too. But in the U.S. Army, I'll never forget, this just ticked me off. When I was a battalion commander, an infantry battalion, I had a bunch of warriors working for me, and I had one young captain that I was rating his time in part for how well he led in the combat zone. And I had no choice, because they give you a limited amount of space to work within on the electronic form you have to use now. I had no choice but to delete some of his battlefield leadership evaluation that I was giving him, because I thought it was worthy, to make sure that I included the mandatory phrase that, you know, Officer so-and-so or Captain so-and-so supports the commander's sexual harassment and response programs and EEO activities. And I mean, the idea that I had to delete battlefield leadership for an infantry officer and put in EEO crap just drove me bananas. But yes, I agree with you, Victor. Get it out of there. I mean, there's absolutely nothing to do with the job. There's nothing to do with, you know, the military side of the job. It's just, it was a woke thing that got tucked in there, and you just had to do it. And by the way, those evaluations, JP, if I did not include that comment, they centralized. Gone are the days when you could do the OER, the officer evaluation, or the NCOER for NCOs, and turn it into command. No, you had to submit it up to, and all the way up to Human Resource Command, which is Big Army. And they would look at it, and they would decide if you didn't have the magic language about Sharp and EEO, they would kick it back and make you redo it from on high, the ivory tower.
That sounds like a job for Pete Hegseth.
Come on, Pete. Kimball from Harvest says, Phil, we live. Oh, this is a long text. He says, Phil, we live in the last days of great wickedness where evil is called good and good is called evil. That's why I'm glad to hear the federal government's been ordered to recognize two and only two genders and so many other things. He said, it's a real no-brainer. It would have been laughable a few short years ago. I agree with that. I think it would have been laughable a few short years ago. He said, I hope that Trump's agenda will be codified in the laws he's pushing for. Otherwise, all these executive orders can be overturned by the next president. And yeah, I agree. Although he does say, but we all know that Joe Biden was never president. David from Bucky's checking in. You know what? Someday we need to do like a live remote from Bucky's.
I am all for that.
Are you?
Let's do it. I can have some of the little almonds they have, the sugar almonds, or the beef brisket sandwich.
Get you a bag full of beaver nuggets.
Beaver nuggets, yes.
Just come on. What other place in the world can you go get your car washed, fill up the tank with gas, get yourself a full meal, buy some clothes to wear, get yourself a scented candle and some pickled eggs.
And groceries.
And yes, and stock up on groceries and then buy, you know, one of 50 different flavors of beef jerky.
Nowhere.
Nowhere else in the world.
Only Bucky's.
Europeans look at that and get confused. They don't know what's happening. Listen, Bucky's ought to be something like, I don't know, like the gas station of America. It's like the biggest slice of Americana out there. I feel like I'm doing an ad. I'm not doing an ad for Bucky's. They're not a sponsor. If they'd like to be a sponsor of the show, David from Bucky's, you tell them I said, that'd be fine. David from Bucky's says, Phil, why isn't there a 50% option on the poll? Trump has less than 2 years to implement his agenda. The entire House will be up for re-election along with a third of the Senate. If he hasn't made favorable progress by November 26, he will lose the legislative branch and thus will be unable to advance his agenda further. Listen, I hear you. And you're right. I think we got 2 years to really make this happen. 2 years. This 2 years is incredibly important. And the Democrats are going to do all they can to stall the agenda. But we got to make it happen in this 2 years, because if we don't, like you said, they will run against the do-nothing Republicans. So I'm saying that's why I agree with Congressman Palmer a while ago, who called in. And he's talking about getting the Trump agenda as much as they can into one large reconciliation bill and pounding that thing through. And the Senate's wanting, no, we want two bills. We can't tie these things together. Tie them together and get it done. You don't have time to waste. Bob from Madison, or I'm sorry, Barry from Fultondale says, Phil, yesterday John Kennedy got up on stage, said something is funny happening here. He said the FCC, 3 Dem and 2 Rep voted for George Soros' purchase of a red. Yeah, I agree. George Soros just bought like 200 radio stations, many of which are in South Florida. And you got to know it's because he recognizes that. It's funny. I know that podcasting is the wave of the future. I know that streaming media is extremely huge. That's why we're a part of it. But I will tell you this. There is recent studies that indicate that more people still are touched by radio than any other communications medium in the United States. That something like 79% of all Americans are touched by radio every single week, as opposed to any other medium not being able to touch that. Doesn't mean they're all listening to talk. It just means they're all listening to radio. That's why advertising on radio is still a big deal. Marshall from Dubai says, Phil, I was in Washington, D.C. Sunday night. This is how Biden's last night in the White House felt, and it shows. God, that's a weird. Anyway. That's a weird meme. I'm not even sure where to go with that meme. It's got Biden's head superimposed on a dog being led around on a leash. I just don't understand. Okay. Marshall, thanks for that. I got a phone call, line one, Brian from Huntsville. Hey, man, how are you?
Doing mighty fine. Welcome back. And if my voice wasn't cracking from the cold for the last couple of days, I'd sing you a couple of phrases from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I can hear it in my head right now.
But in any case, I wanted to go back from earlier and mention the Gulf of America.
Yeah.
Trump did not say the Gulf of the United States of America. We got North America, South America,
Central America.
Portions of both that are Central America that all touch that water.
I agree.
That is much more sane than calling it the Gulf of Mexico, because it belongs to us all.
I am with you. I am with you 100%. And if they start bucking up on this thing, we'll tell them that's what it's all about. Trump's the great unifier. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. I'm just enjoying text messages right now. I'm going to stay on this. I got a few more. Can I do that? JP, do you mind?
I'll let it go, yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
I'll approve.
Appreciate you. Mindy from Morris, Alabama says, heard during one of the commercial breaks that ICE has already arrested 308 violent illegals, murders, and it has begun. Praise God. Get her done. Steve from Tennessee checking in saying, TDS list. Oh, here's his TDS. Can you grab that TDS list and email it to both of us so we've got it? I agree. I think he's got a TDS list of the different categories of Trump derangement syndromes compartmentalized. I'm going to take a look at this and see if I can work with it. Steve from Tennessee, thank you, brother. TL from Huntsville. Phil, do you know if Trump's National Energy Emergency Declaration will include the hardening of the electrical grid? Our enemies are regularly attempting to exploit these weaknesses, and Congress up to now seems unconcerned. My understanding is it does not. My understanding of the emergency declaration for energy is on the production capacity as opposed to the transmission capacity. Now, I could be wrong, but infrastructure, though, is going to be a separate category as opposed to the sourcing of the energy, like drill or fracking or you know, the ability to mine certain products or export it out. So, TL, that's my thought. Don't know for a fact, but I believe so. Bobby from Huntsville says, possibly a good answer to the roundup of the illegals, the ones that are held up in these motels that we're paying for. They come out, lock the doors, let them out one by one to get on a bus to go get on the plane, Roll Tide. Okay. And then roughly Ann from Huntsville says, Phil, the pizza was a rectangle. Oh, she's talking about I eat square pizza? No, it was rectangular pizza. She's right, though.
Yeah, and I think they're also the conversation of you going to school in the snow as well.
Who said that?
Well, that's when you mentioned you went uphill in the snow both ways.
But I did walk in the snow. And by the way, those of y'all that are in Huntsville, I went to Chaffee Elementary, and I lived literally a mile away. And if I didn't ride my bike, I walked. And I don't. Someday I'm going to go back and I'm going to drive it. But my recollection was it was close to a mile to get to school.
Chaffee isn't still open, is it? I think they got shut down.
Did it really?
I believe so. I may be wrong about that. I believe it got shut down a couple of years ago. Yeah, but it was recently, I believe.
I tell you what, I have great memories of Chaffee Elementary. I have some bad memories of Chaffee Elementary, but I have some great ones. But here's one thing. I am totally chasing a rabbit. I'm going to use the platform God given me to find something. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
In 1976, I was in fourth grade. It was the bicentennial of the United States. And we had this thing where once a week, there were senior citizens who came in and taught us different stuff. I had one where I went through 3 weeks where they taught us to play chess. I had another one that came in and they taught us. And there was one time when, believe it or not, we learned needlepoint, which sounds crazy, but it was kind of fun. But we did it for a reason. Every one of us got to pick a pattern that had to be patriotic, and then we stitched it all together, and then they made a quilt out of it. And so there was a bicentennial quilt made by the students at Chaffee Elementary. Each square was a needlepoint done by a student, and they quilted all together, and they hung it in the lobby of the school for the longest time. I have no idea where that is now. I want to know if anyone in relation to Huntsville City Schools knows where the bicentennial quilt is that was made by students in 1976 at Chaffee Elementary. I'm on there. I'd be willing to buy it.
Wow, really? You'd be willing to buy it?
I'd be willing to buy it.
Wow.
I want to know where it is. It's an heirloom. I'd be willing to buy it. I am one of the squares on that quilt. Anybody knows, pass it on. And there's a bunch of y'all out there, by the way, that were students who participated in that, and you know what I'm talking about. I don't know where that came from.
Hey, but hey, we'll see if anybody knows where it's at.
My mind was totally racing. All right, take me to a break, JP. We'll take a break, come right back, get a few more texts, and call it a day. It's been a full one. It was a single dipper day, but it was a good single dipper day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Dropping truth bombs everywhere is what we're doing. A couple of quick text messages, then I'll go to the phones. Bob from Madison says everyone just calls it the Gulf. Oh, Bob, no. We call it the Gulf of America. So you want to call it the Gulf, that's fine. We all call it the Gulf when we're just talking like casually, like I'm Phil, but my full name is Philip. So, you know, it's the Gulf of America now. That's his full name. Brian from Decatur says, and by the way, he says Space Force. And he said, never mind, you just covered it. Thank you. Flip again from Priceville says, Biden protected so many acres of the Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America, from drills with an order. By Trump changing the name, he can drill, baby, drill, because it doesn't say anything about the Gulf of America. Yeah, okay, it's interesting. I don't know that it worked that way, but it's interesting. And then last one, I guess for now, gosh, no, maybe it's not. Matt from Madison says, don't want to be a downer. However, I can't imagine what traffic is going to be like with the advent of Space Command. It'll be a mess up here. Listen, brother, it's going to be a good problem to have. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I've been saying that for...
Traffic's going to be something.
I get called a Debbie Downer every time I say it, but gee whiz. I feel like the infrastructure in Huntsville's not keeping up. We'll see.
You know what? That's because the growth is outpacing the ability to keep up.
That's true. That's a good problem to have.
All right. Hey, let me go to the phones real quick. Jeffro from Indiana. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Huntsville may become more like Nashville than you'd like it to be. You know what I mean?
Stop it. Stop it. Now, but you know what though? What a blessing problem to have. I mean, you talk about a dynamic community that just seems to have so much going on for it. But yeah, and then they'll have a bypass, and truck drivers like you will know which way not to go.
That's exactly right. As long as we get across the river, it'd be all right.
That's right. What you think, man? How's day two of the Trump administration doing for you?
Well, you know. Day one of Trump was disastrous for some markets.
For some markets?
It was devastating to the art market. Oh. I mean, Hunter Biden's art, the price on it dropped faster than a MyPillow sale. it basically become worth whatever the frame was worth. You know, starving artists couldn't even get rid of those paintings.
No, not at all. Especially with some of what he used for paint. No, when they find that out, they don't want it. But yeah. What else, man? What else are you thinking? Hey, by the way, you heard that they're already doing ice raids?
Oh, yeah, that's nice. I mean... I got passed by a Border Patrol vehicle in Nashville today.
Did you?
Yes. So they're out and about, apparently.
Listen, I got to tell you a true story. When we were up in D.C. the other day, I got about a minute left. When we were up in D.C., we went to our congressman's office to watch the inaugural event. And Customs and Border Patrol, they're using everybody who had a badge. And so there was a bunch of CBP guys that were guarding the entrance to the Cannon office building where we were going. And they were so respectful and so nice. I mean, I even said, thanks for what y'all do. And I mentioned it to one of the staffers, and he said, they've been pretty popular today. I said, I bet they have.
I bet so, yeah. It's morning in America again, you know. We had an eclipse there 4 years there, and it's morning again. So
well,
thank God for that.
You're exactly right. Listen, man, I'm 10 seconds from the music, but you be safe on the road. We'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
Have a good one, Phil. Stay warm.
See you, buddy. All right, listen, folks, I'm just telling you, I'm glad to be back in there with you. I'll be back here tomorrow. We got all kinds of stuff getting laid on for shows over the next coming days and big guests that we're planning on in the near future. And the bottom line is this. It is a whole new day. I really do believe we are at the dawn of something that history will look back on and say that was a significant time. Stay in the fight, you guys. And I'm just telling you, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. So, oh, yeah, stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.